وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات. We were discussing the Islamic value system, and I was talking about a little bit on each of those, or some of the most important values in our divine value system. And we talked about in the previous lesson about the concept of asabiyyat, means prejudice in Islam, and we discussed that there is no room for the negative prejudice, whereas the positive prejudice is something which is deeply appreciated in Islam. And we also talked about the fact, the concept of taqbeelul yad, kissing of the hand, and I told you the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he had informed us that no hand can be kissed except the hand from which you intend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In other words, so we our discussion has reached to the next stage of the next value that I would like to mention today is about the value of buka.
Al-buka'u min khashyatillah. It means crying upon the fear of Allah. This itself is one of the assets of a mu'min and something that we deeply cherish about. Buka and crying is a natural desire of a human, and those of the evil Wahhabis who have been talking against the human nature and trying to export their fatwas of by saying that this is haram and bid'at and invention into the religion are not only talking against the human nature but also against the sunnat and acceptable tradition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. As the Holy Prophet found some people crying over the shuhada of the Battle of Uhud, that's where, when Prophet saw some of the women who were crying over the situation, when some of the women were crying over some of the shuhada and martyrs, that's where the Prophet had said, "Amma ammi Hamza fala bawakiya lahu." That means, as far as my uncle Hamza goes, there is no one to cry for him. So this is something that Prophet is encouraging the Islamic community to cry over a person like Hazrat Hamza, who was called as Sayyidul Shuhada by the Prophet in those days. And likewise, when in the Battle of Malta, we find that Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar, salamullahi alayh, the brother of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, who became shaheed, who was killed by the enemies, the mushrikeen, and Prophet heard the news, not just heard, he was actually seeing the shahadat live, because the curtain was removed and Ja'far al-Tayyar far, far away from the Prophet, and he looked towards the Prophet and Prophet looked towards him. And then Ja'far al-Tayyar salamullah alayhi did his final salam to the Prophet. Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, salama muwaddi' la salama za'ir. That means I'm doing my farewell salam to you, O Rasulullah, not the salam of a visitor, because obviously he's about to die. And so Prophet saw the whole scene with his eyes live, and finally his soul was taken up, he was taken, raised up from the top of the spear. When the kuffar raised his body top over top of the spear, Allah raised his body from there, Allah raised him up, and he had been awarded two wings. At-tayyaru fil jannah wa zul janahain. Tayyar is in paradise and he has two wings. So he's Ja'far al-Tayyar salamullah alayhi is flying inside the paradise with the two wings that Allah has awarded him. So when the shahadat of Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar took place, we find that Prophet also had said, "Ala misli Ja'far fal tabkil bawaki." That means upon a person like Ja'far, people should cry. In other words, people should cry on a person like Ja'far. So again, we learn in the light of this hadith of the Prophet that Prophet himself is encouraging the community to commemorate the shahadat and martyrdom through crying and remembering. The crying concept of in Islam is not a sign of cowardice and jubun. It's exactly the opposite. Crying concept in Islam as a value is not a personal fariza and duty of Islam. It's exactly the opposite. It's a political duty of Islam. Our cries are political in nature and political in its implication, not personal in nature only. So the cries of a mu'min is not only cleansing himself from the inside, from the sins, not only causing him to do talaq towards this dunya and its attachments, not only making him remember Allah strongly and forcefully, with force and strength, but also empowering him to announce in its own limit and capacity of the tear, within the limit and capacity of the tear, to announce our disassociation from the enemies and the tawaghit, and it's a slap on the face of their policy and announcement of our support towards the oppressed. So this kind of tear and this kind of crying is not just a simple act of worship, but it's something which is so high that we have hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Prophet has said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, "Al-buka'u lillah yubni laka bikulli dam'atin baytun fil jannah." So crying for the sake of Allah is going to construct for you, for every tear, a house in the paradise. Now my question to you and your conscience, if it was a personal issue with no benefit for Islam involved in your tears, why in the world will we get such a huge reward of getting a house, a mansion in paradise? It doesn't add up, isn't it right? So I remember exactly Imam Khomeini radhiyallahu anhu in saying in one of his speeches, he said that when we cry over Imam Hussein alayhi salam, over all the masa'ib that he has faced in his, sacrifice during the process of his sacrifice. This is a political act of disassociating ourselves from the zulm against the zalim, and this exactly where the rewards come. So we find another hadith, cries. Our scholars have classified the concept of crying. It can happen for three reasons: huznan, wa shawqan, wa khawfan. A person may cry, end up crying because of his sorrow that he feels in the heart. Reason number one. The second reason may be he is shock, shawqan ila Allah. You know, somebody has ishtiyaq and eagerness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third reason is khawfan. That means a person is fearful towards Allah and His punishments, that if we misbehave, we cannot escape. Nothing can escape from His realm, and we are held accountable. So we are fearful, and that's how we improve ourselves. So we don't return back to the sins. And there are series of benefits that the tear of a person has for the sake of Allah. One of the benefits is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the face with the nazratan rahima, with a look of mercy. So we find if a person is crying for the sake of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and I'm going to come on that aspect as well very soon. Our scholars say, don't wash your tears fast. Don't be quick in wiping your tears when you are crying for the sake of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, because that's the time, that's a very golden time, a golden opportunity. That's the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at you. So there's a rahmat of Allah, you know, and directed towards you. So don't stop that specific rahmat coming towards you after you wipe the tears. Obviously that rahmat and that behavior is not there. So don't be quick in wiping the tears when you cry over Imam Hussain alayhi salam. The second benefit we learn in the light of the hadith is the shadow of Allah. Those of the people who cry from the fear of Allah, they are part of the seven categories of humans. There are seven categories of humans who are entitled to be under the shadow and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, where no human among the billions who are resurrected will be under any sort of shadow. So this is the benefit number two, which is extremely important as well. We have hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So he says, Sab'atun fi dhilli arshillah azza wa jal yawma la dhilla illa dhilluhu. Seven are under the shadow of the arsh and throne of Allah on the day where there is no shadow except the shadow of Allah. And then Prophet mentions the seven, one of the seven that he mentions is وَرَجُلٌ ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ خَالِيًا فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That means a person who remembered Allah خَالِيًا, means in the khalwat, in the loneliness. So if you cry in front of the people, you know, in front of the masses, that's also sawab from the fear of Allah, but the sawab is less. But if we cry in the loneliness where no one else is watching other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sawab is different. فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, and then his eyes get wet. He has tears in the eyes from the fear of Allah. This person is now qualified to be one of those seven who will have the shadow on the day where no one will have the shadow. Another hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, another benefit where Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, al-buka'u min khashyatillah yuniru al-qalb.
وَيَعْصِمُ عَنْ مُعَاوَدَةِ الذَّنْبِ.
That's another benefit number 3 and 4. Crying from the fear of Allah makes the qalb munawwar and nurani and illuminous with the divine light. If you want to bring the nur inside the qalb, one of the reasons that brings the nur is crying from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the reasons why you find our great ulama حفظهم الله, and our great, you know, maraji حفظهم الله ajma'in, these great personalities, al-ulama al-rabbaniyin, they are so much nurani in their behavior, you know, because of the fear of Allah that they have in the qalb and the cries that they have in their loneliness from the fear of Allah. And the benefit number 3 which we learn is also where Imam Ali had said, يَعْصَمُ عَنْ مُعَوَدَةِ الظَّلَمْ. That means fear, crying from the fear of Allah protects a person from returning back to the sin. So this is also mentioned in the hadith of Imam Zain al-Abidin wa Sayyid al-Sajideen Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salatu wa salam. About the crying thing, he says that ما من قطرة حب إلى الله عز وجل من قطرتين. There is no drop which is more beloved in the eyes of Allah other than 2 drops. So basically there are 2 drops which are the most beloved in the eyes of Allah. And then Imam alayhi salam says, قطرة الدم في سبيل الله وقطرة الدمعة في سواد الليل لا يريد بها عبد إلا الله عز وجل. The first drop is the drop of blood in this path of Allah. Another hadith tells us that when the first drop of blood falls, all the sins get forgiven. When the shaheed, in the, you know, his blood falls down, first drop on the soil, all of his sins get forgiven, illa dain, except the loan. Obviously, if you borrow a loan from some Muslim person, you have to pay him back. Don't think that hukukun nas, the rights of the people, can be forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to forgive his rights. And that we may have messed, we may messed up, we may have, you know, not fulfilled our fara'id and duties towards Allah, our sins will be forgiven, but not the rights of the people that a person, so hukuk, borrowing a loan and not paying back is part of the rights of the people, that is not going to be forgiven. Actually, it is also narrated that, as far as I recall, in the Battle of Uhud, when Prophet was, he came back and he found a bunch of people were crying over a shaheed, and he said that your shaheed is under the captivity of that Jewish person. There was a Jewish guy in Medina, and this shaheed, Muslim who became a shaheed, he borrowed some loan from that Jew, and he did not pay him back. So Prophet said that your shaheed is in the captivity, in other words, is in the captivity of that Jew. Pay him. That means obviously, after, even if after he became shaheed, that doesn't mean he's released from that obligation that he has on the neck. So we have to pay our loans, you know, it doesn't matter who... whomsoever, from whomsoever we get the loan from. So there are 2 drops which are the most beloved. Coming back to the hadith, one is the drop in the path of Allah, drop of the blood of a shaheed person, and the second one is the drop of tear in the fi sawad al-lail, in the darkness of the night, where a person wants nothing from that except Allah. That means only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, also another hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam says that al-buka'u kullu aynin baqiyatun yawm al-qiyamati ghayra salasin, aynun saharat fi sabilillah wa aynun fadat min khashyatillah وَأَيْنٌ غَضَّتْ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ. All the eyes will be crying on the Day of Judgment except 3. And then Imam alayhi salam says the eye that stays up in the path of Allah, that means if you don't sleep, you stay up, you are awake for this, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing ibadat services, ibadat for Allah, whatever, in other words. And the second one is the ayn fadat min khashyatillah. The second one which he mentioned is the eyes that cries from the fear of Allah. وَعَيْنٌ غَضَّتْ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ, and the eye that is keeping away from the, that shuts down from the maharim and haram. That means if an eye looks towards a non-mahram person, you know, our nafs and desires like to see and keep on looking towards a non-mahram person, isn't it right? But if we change our eyes, if we move our eyes away from that person, the hadith says if a person looks up towards the heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, marries him with a hur. So one obedience like that is immediately repaid by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the person, and this is just one of the rewards, obviously. So, keeping our eyes away from, what Allah has made haram. So, this is the third category of the eyes which are not going to cry on the day of judgment. So, also, the fifth benefit of crying, as we are discussing the concept of buka, crying as a value in Islam. The fifth benefit of the crying concept is that your tears are a valueless asset. Valueless asset is because we have the hadith again from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Where he says, "Ma min shay'in illa walahu kailun aw wazn." That means there isn't anything except that it has a measure or weight. In other words, so every ibadat that we perform has a fixed price. We learn in the light of the hadith. You pray the salat, you get that much reward. You do your, you know, give your khums, you have this much reward. You go for hajj, you have this much reward. So ibadat have a fixed measure and weight of the reward. When it comes to the tear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not fix a value for the tear yet. There is no value fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not there in the hadith, but I am saying to you that maybe because one of the reasons is this, that tear is the expression of your love towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and the love towards the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is one and the same concept of love, is valueless. It's something which cannot be evaluated at all. So the tear has no value fixed by Allah. So now obviously it is the constant seerat of the Prophet of crying from the fear of Allah. Like I said in the very beginning of my speech, that those of the evil puppet Wahhabis who have been putting a ban on crying this shows nothing but the kufr of the person, you know, from the teachings of the sunnat of Rasulullah and inhiraf from his sunnat and denying the constant established sunnat of Allah and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We find that there is a hadith which I have read where Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Ma dakhaltu," that's Imam alayhi salam says that, "Ma dakhaltu ala abi qat illa wajadtuhu baqiyan." Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, "I never entered on my father except that I found him crying." So now you can imagine how much a person and how frequently a person would have been crying, that Imam Hussain says, "Whenever I entered upon my father, I found him crying." So it's such a frequent sunnah of Rasulullah. Similarly, Prophet was in the same situation. So such a frequent sunnah of Rasulullah has been denied, and it is obviously the job of the scholars to raise their voice against every bid'at and invention. Putting a ban on crying is a bid'at and invention into the religion, isn't it right? So Allah has taken a mithaq and covenant from ulama not to stay silent over the bid'ats and inventions that people invent and start doing in the name of Islam. The opposite of crying is an anti-value as well. This is another aspect that has to be clear in our minds. Anti-value. If a person doesn't cry, what is the status of the one who opts not to cry? So we find that this is what we call jumudul ayn. A person has dried up tears. In our Islamic moral value system, the science of Islamic morality, we call it jumudul ayn. That's a spiritual illness. It's like you have illnesses in medical science. You go and study for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years about all the various physical illnesses and its symptoms and signs and cures and root causes. Isn't it right? Similarly, in ilm al-akhlaq, the knowledge of Islamic morality, we study all the spiritual illnesses and their symptoms and signs and why it happens and the root causes. So this illness in ilm al-akhlaq is called jumudul ayn. That means dryness of the tears. It's a name of an illness. And the reason why the illness happens in some people, that no matter what you say and what you talk to them, they're just like a statue. That's actually worse than statue, because statue cannot cry. There's no room for any complaint because it cannot. Isn't that right? Whereas a human can cry, but he's not crying. So it's worse than a statue. So just jumudul ayn doesn't happen except for reasons. And the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, actually it is from Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, where he says, مَا جَفَّتَ الدُّمُوءُ إِلَّا لِقَصْوَةِ الْقُلُوبِ. That means the eyes don't dry up except due to قَصَاوَةُ الْقَلْبِ. Some people are stone-hearted. قَصِيُّ الْقَلْبِ. Qasawatul qalb, you know. Qasawatul qalb is a stage where if a person, the knowledge of akhlaq teaches us, if a person commits a sin and then he doesn't do the tawbah, which is an immediate wajib and fawri after the sin, and he ignores that wajib, so he commits another sin and does not repent, doesn't realize that he is doing and violating and Allah's laws. So now, after doing the sins without a tawbah in the middle, a time arrives where the person becomes mute, becomes immune towards sinning. It's very normal for him to, he keeps on rejoicing. Deep down in his heart, he's enjoying the sinning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a time arrives there, he becomes stone hearted. That means now he is so strong over his behavior that even if a person advises him, you see, he just turns a deaf ear to what he's saying, because he is now strong over the wrong. So this is the strength that a person gains over the haram. Now this strength, if it further continues in the future, the later stage of qasabatul qalb is what in ilm al-akhlaq they say is shaqawatul qalb. Shaqawatul qalb, a person becomes shaqiyul qalb, is when he is farther away after becoming qasiyul qalb. So qasawat is first, and then later on is shaqawat. So shaqawatul qalb is basically, the best way to describe is a point of no return. It's just like a spilled milk. You're wasted of time. We don't waste time for those for spilled milk to pick up the spilled milk, isn't it right? You would be wasting your time. Shaqiyul qalb is a shaqiyul qalb, is a shaqiyul qalb. That's it. It's a point of no return. A person can return back before reaching that stage. Once he is categorized in the category of shaqiyul qalb, being shaqiyul qalb, he's not going to return back. So the reason why Amir Mumin alayhi salam says that the tears dry up, ma jaffatad dumu' illa liqaswatil qulub. So the tears dry up except for the reason of having, you know, qasawat in the heart, in the soul. So a person has stone hearted, in other words. Actually, that's worse than stones. وَمَا قَسَتِ الْقُلُوبِ إِلَّا لِكَفْرَةِ الذُّنُوبِ. And the souls of the people don't become that strong and that stone hearted except because of abundance of sins. So abundance of sins is actually the root cause for a person getting his tears dried up. Anybody who comes to, you know, Islamic gatherings and he hears, you know, those masaib and musibat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam or the Ahlul Bayt, but he has no tear in his eyes, must understand this is already late for him to do the tawbah. This is now ripe time to do the tawbah, because if the tear is not coming out of the eyes, this is a big red flag in ilm al-akhlaq. You are already late over your abundance of sins. Not one, abundance of sins. So we find that Zarar ibn Dumra is one of the staunch supporters of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And he says salawat. And he was forcibly called by Muawiyah. And asked to appear in front of him. After the Shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he used to do this kind of tactics, either tatmi' or tahdeed, either bribing the people by giving them some perks and rewards or benefits or gifts or money, or through, you know, basically threatening them. The two major policies of Muawiyah. So he, Zarar ibn Dumra, salamullah alayh, this great companion of Imam Ali salam, was forcibly called by Muawiyah, brought to his presence, and then he asked him that, so he was trying to avoid, but obviously he was forced. Then Muawiyah said to him that, tell me how Ali was. Tell me about the attributes of Ali alayhi salam. So that's where Zarar ibn al-Dumra said. So look at what Dharar said, and I want to mention one by one what he says about Imam Ali alayhi salam. The first thing that he mentions about Imam Ali alayhi salam, the first attribute of his, attributes of Imam Ali alayhi salam cannot be counted. Isn't it right? Because he is the mazhar of every attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we cannot count the attributes of Allah. Isn't it right? So nobody can count Imam Ali's attributes who is reflecting Allah to his fullest. Now look at how Zarar ibn Dumra is putting the personality of Imam Ali in front of the biggest enemy of Imam Ali alayhi salam, one of the biggest enemies. So he says, Ali alayhi salam was used to respect the religious people, and the criteria of respecting people in his eyes was on the asas, on the foundation of deen and iman. If a person has deen and religion, he is a religiously practicing person, and he has iman and faith, blind faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what attracted the respect of Imam Ali alayhi salam towards the people. He used to attract the mustad'af and the fuqara, mustad'afin and fuqara, the weakened masses of the community, and the poor people of the community, he used to attract them towards himself. Policy number two. So, and then also he adds that ashab al-sarwa, you know, people who have the money, people, the, wa alaikum salam, the rich people, people who have money, you know, had no, Imam alayhi salam didn't used to pay attention towards them. That means the richness of a person has zero attraction in the eyes of Muhammad Ali Salam. He never used to pay attention towards that aspect. The powerful people, the bullies, the powerful ones in the society have zero influence on the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So no matter how powerful or influential you may be in the society, this has zero influence on his personality. That's the attribute number three that he mentions. And the weak people were, Imam Ali was such that he never made the du'afa, the weak people, to get disappointed from his adl and justice. So the weak people were always attaching their hopes. The weak people were always attaching their hopes. You know, there are people who are, you know, who are influential, who have more money. Some people are a loud mouth, isn't it right? They make big noise in the society and they get their things done easily, isn't it right? And there are some people who are weak and they don't have the chance to come forward. So Imam Ali alayhi salam never used to allow the weak people get disappointed from getting adl and justice in their rights.
وَاللَّهِ لَوْ وَجَدْتُهُ قَدْ تَزَوَّجَ بِهِ النِّسَاءُ أَوْ مُلِكَ بِهِ الْإِمَاءُ لَرَدَدْتُهُ فَإِنَّ فِي الْعَدْلِ سِعَةُ.
Didn't he say that? You know, after he came into the Khilafat, he said that, I swear to Allah, if I found the money of Baytul Mal, the national treasury, in other words, is taken up and it was paid already, usurped from the Baytul Mal, paid to the woman as their mahar, or the slaves have already been purchased with that money, I will return the money back. Then I don't care if the money has been already paid into the mahar of the woman, or for the purchase of the slaves, I'm still going to return the money back. Because the reason he mentions, فَإِنَّ فِي الْعَدْلِ سِعَةً. Because certainly in justice lies expansion. وَمَنْ ضَاقَ عَلَيْهِ الْعَدْلِ فَالْجَوْرُ عَلَيْهِ أَضْيَقُ. And whoever considers justice to be tight for him, then zulm and oppression is going to be tighter upon him. So this is how he was. So we find that the hukuk and the rights of the oppressed was never, they had a hope, it was always guaranteed by him, and the oppressors and usurpers of the hukuk and rights of the people were always, vulnerable. He always used to take it away from them. These are the four things which Dharar ibn Dhumra defines about Imam Ali alayhi salam. And then he says, I went into a masjid in the middle of the night, and I found Amir Muhammad alayhi salam standing in the mihrab, and he was praying, and he was saying, addressing to this dunya, Ya dunya, ya dunya, ilayki anni, abi ta'arati, aw ilayya, تشوقتي لا حان حينك هيهات غري غيري لا حاجة لي فيك. That means Imam Ali al-Salam is addressing the dunya, that go deceive somebody else. That means, I have no need towards you, in other words. So this is how he's addressing this dunya. And من قلة الزاد وطول طول الطريق وبعد بعد السفر وعظيم المورد. So basically he's talking about the fact that the zad, necessary things that we carry in the travel, is less, and the path to tread is long, and the travel is the safar is far away, is ba'id, is long, and obviously the maqsad is azim. So that's where the narration tells us that even Muawiyah, even a person like Muawiyah, ended up crying At that point, when Barar ibn Zumra mentioned these attributes of Imam Ali Salam, even Muawiyah, who is his enemy, also ended up crying. He could not help himself, bursting into tears about the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So we find that it was before I come to the end, I would like to mention one more incident. That it is narrated that I also said, if you remember, in the beginning of my speech, that crying is a natural desire, so relating to that, it is narrated in the narration that one of the prophets of God encountered a stone, in other words, and the stone was crying. So much, liquid or water is coming out of the stone. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he prayed to discover about the reason. He wanted to know about the reason, and by the izn and permission of Allah, the stone started to speak. And it said, I heard about that verse, about talking about the hellfire, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَقُدُهَ النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ عِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, talking about the hellfire, we keep away from the hellfire, which is the waqood, that means the firewood for the hell is An-nas wal hijara, people and the stone. So the stone said to the Prophet that, since I heard about this verse of a revelation, I'm crying. That stone is also part of the firewood of the hell, which may be used to burn the hell. So I'm crying so that Allah does not include me among one of those stones which will be burnt in the hell. So the Nabi, the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to include him from the among those stones. So Allah responded positively, and the Prophet gave Basharat, the glad tidings, the good news to the stone, that you will not be included in those stones which will be used as the firewood for the hellfire, in other words. So after a while, the Prophet was walking by the same stone, and he found there still some tears coming out of the same stone, and he asked the stone again. And that's where the stone replied, and the Prophet said to him, Alam Ya'manka Allah, didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, didn't Allah secure you? That means you are already protected, you have been given the basharat and the tidings already. So he replied, Zalika Buka'ul Huzn wa hadha Buka'ul Shawq, Buka'ul Surur. That was the cry of sorrow, and this is the cry of happiness. So sometimes a person cries in ishtiyaq and happiness as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ahli Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin, wakhzul al-Kuffara wal-Munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasara ad-Din, wakhzul